I tell them all, it was only Greek and Hebrew. So okay. They get, yeah, they're used to me. They give me lots of lounges.
A friend of mine, it was Ralph Alcott, called me. He had a teacher, he was in high school, or I think it was college. Either physics or math professor sometimes would come with two different socks on, you know, one brown one and a black one and stuff like that. I don't think I've ever been quite that bad. Okay, I'm going to put this on the board. So I'm just going to, all I need is a sheet of paper. And there's two sections to it. First section, I'll be giving you the information to give you the form. The second section, I'll give you the form to give you the information. It would be 10 in the first section and 15 in the second. And it'll be more guided, not later when we correct it. So the first part is just giving the sequential part, describing each case.
Okay, let me just check. We might have slipped in from the old. All right. Yeah. If I didn't give it to you, I'll just change it here. Oh, yes, I did eliminate that one. Okay. Yeah, really. Well, I know you're studying well, then. Okay. We'll change that, and let's see here. Okay. Okay, change that anoigo to my
future active.
Yeah, same thing, future active of my. Well, I've changed on the board here. Thought I'd checked it and make sure I had this didn't happen, but good to have students that know what's going on here.
At least you know what you don't know.
Okay. Okay, we'll have to get on my same thing, future active. Okay. So we'll use the other side of the board here. I didn't have that one either. I'm surprised this happened there. there twice. Put the same thing here.
Okay, in this last section, I'm just going to give you the form, and you break it down. In other words, you give me this information. It'll be five of these. This dash just indicates, like it does in the chart, that it's a word that's used only in compounds, so in this direction you don't need to worry about it. Just keep the form.
In terms of what it means.
Right. Yeah, give me four pieces of information. First the tense, then the voice, then the root verb, and the meaning of the root verb. So in this one, you may have to give me the one that was, just give me one of the combination ones to give me the meaning.
Okay, so you want the tense, voice, root, and meaning of the root. Is this podium in the way for some of you? Let me slide it back. Question. Yeah, just take a compound one, and you could probably, I guess for meaning, the only one they gave you was one of the compounds, so just give me the compound they gave you for the meaning. That's all you need. Yes?
Did you want the meaning of the root or the meaning of the form there?
Just the meaning of the root. Meaning of the root. In fact, you can just, give it kind of a dictionary form, meaning, where it's... Technically, the root is the first person. I mean, the forms that we're giving here are first person forms, but give what the English dictionary form is, you might say. In other words, just analogous to what I've done over here. Raise, take up, Okay, I think everything should be okay there now. Yes, sir.
Please, on tab 5.
No, I just have five in the first category. There's 15 total, 10 in the first category and 5 in the second. Yeah.
meetings, anyone not meetings? Okay, if you can exchange papers, we'll go through this quickly and correct it. This first section is going to be worth 3 points each. These first 10 will be worth 3 points each. And as far as the pointing, is going there. There is 1 point per spelling error, 1 point per letter wrong, up to a maximum of three. And so again, it's any more than three. A half point for breathing mark. We're not counting accents. So don't worry about accents, but a breathing mark with half point and a letter that's wrong is worth a 1 point off up until maximum of three. Or than this. So perfect active of IRO. Let's see. Should be Erica. Erica. Okay, so don't worry about the accent, but the breathing mark must be there. Okay, an aorist passive of akuo should be a kus thing. Aorist active of ago, egagon. And future active of ginomai should be ginesomai. Perfect active of bino should be beveka. Of course, this is usually a combination. So if it was ana, it'd be ana beveka. Aorist active of raise or take up should be era, eta, rho, alpha. Does have a circumflex in the first syllable. But. And aorist passive of throw, eblathane. And perfect middle passive of become. Gagene mai, let's see. Gamma epsilon, gamma epsilon, nu, eta mu alpha iota. Gagene mai. Future active of throw is balo, just one lambda and omega, which is circumflex. This one I should probably count for the accident. We won't worry about it right now. Make sure that's only one lambda there, though. Aorist passive of sin is hemartathane. Eta with rough breathing. Nu, alpha, rho, tau, eta, eta, nu. Hemartathane. Any questions on any of those? Okay. Now, for the last five, this is going to be worth 4 points each for these last five. And there's 1 point for each piece of information. 1 point for the tens, one for the voids, one for the root, and one for the mean. Now, on the root, if they make any spelling errors on the root, take off a half point for every letter wrong, up to a maximum, of course, of one. So they've got really only one way to get some grades on that, and that's only miss one letter. Otherwise, it's going to be as much as if they miss the whole word.
Did you want us to write through the alphabet?
What was that?
Did you want us to write through the alphabet?
Well, yeah, I did want you to.
Yes,
please. Oh, okay. Well, why don't you give him this paper and let him go write the roots in. And the meaning of the root, too. Meaning of the root in English.
Yeah.
You got that? Okay. Yeah. Well, you better go write it in real quick and we'll get back. Anybody else do that? Okay. Yeah, not the choice. Okay. First one here, akekoa should be perfect, active, from akuo to here. Akuo. So perfect active from akuo to here. Number two, ebbing should be aorist active from bino, and means to go up, yet on a bino, to go up. Kata bino to go down. Anybody have dia bino to go through? I don't know. You can make up all kinds of ones if you want.
The root is actually
palak. Yeah, it's got the idea. It's very similar to the Hebrew verb palak. You know, but usually in their day, to walk and to go were the same thing. In our day, to walk and to go isn't necessarily the same thing. We have other modes of transportation. You know, that's what they did. Of course, they could ride camels or something too. But, generally, they are often translated that way. And of course, when it's used like anabino or katabino, it doesn't necessarily mean only to walk up or to walk down. In other words, when Jesus was resurrected, he didn't walk up to heaven. So it's got a little broader, but it's probably related to that idea of walking traditionally. If you have walked for that, I wouldn't have a problem with that. Okay, anybody else? All right, number three, Bethlehem Mai should be perfect, middle and passive. And you need both middle and passive down there. You have only middle or only passive, it's half point off. From Balo, theta, alpha, lambda, omega, to throw. number four. Well, that was that. Okay, maybe we can catch up on the reading there too if you want. Number four, eighth thing, should be aorist passive from ago to eat. And number five, a marteso should be future active from amartano to sin.
Wrong tense is 1 point.
One point for tense, 1 point for voice, 1 point for the root idea, 1 point for the meaning of it. Okay, subtract the number of points from 50 and put that at the top. Just leave the number there, the points. Pass it back to the owner. Take a look at your paper, make sure everything's corrected properly. And when we get these back in, I'll give you your next section here. 2 weeks from today, we'll have another little quiz. We'll just keep running this through until we get through the section. Threw your names on the paper, too. So.
What did bino mean again?
Bino means to go, and if you put like on a bino, it'd be to go up,
okay.
Or kata bino to go down. Those are the two most common.
Bino, see
you later. Yeah, right. That's the way to remember it, huh? I'm amazed that, especially in Hebrew, the kinds of associations you have, you know, you come up with some of the words to remember them. And if they're more, the more ridiculous they are, the easier they are to remember. Okay, pass them to the front. If you have getches with you, I can run through. Even if you don't have it with you, this one will be easier to describe. But I'll give you the next section in getches for your next quiz. Somebody have a date for 2 weeks from today? I'm going to have a calendar here. I don't have it. Thursday, 2 weeks from today. That may take us into break. Okay. February 7th. That's still before break, isn't it?
Yeah.
Okay. So let's make February 7th the date for the next quiz. And the sections for that in Getches, be a quiz just like this one today, and it'll take you from Dido Me down to Echo, down to the bottom of the first page there. So Dido Me, from Dido Me down to Echo, including both Dido Me and Echo. So if you're looking at page 330 again, about two-thirds of the way down or so, you have Dido Me. We went up to Didasco before, so it's Dido Me down to Echo, and this includes all of those. So,
the imperfect acron for the last one?
Yes, definitely. Okay, that's because it's very rare that the imperfect is irregular, and echo is a verb that's important enough. So do note the imperfect for echo, which is acron down there as well. Okay, and that'll be 2 weeks from today, February 7th. Okay, Dido Me down to Echo, including both of those. And you don't have any other forms in parentheses there, so just everything you see there. Okay. Mark.
Yeah,
sure. Yes.
Is there any easy way to do research on parts as far as finding out is there a book that lists all participles?
Well, I think John and Eric might be able to give you some insight on that. John, you just went through, and the thing he was using, I think, was this. Who's the author of that one with the
Freeman?
Freeman.
There's a new one that's got symbols for parsing the forms. Analytical Greek New Testament. But he was going through on aorist participles, for example. What kind of numbers did you come up with? It was something quite astronomical.
Well, the number I came up with is 2170, but the estimate would probably be somewhere between 1700 and 2500 for aorist participles.
So there's a sizable number of them. What I might suggest is, if you're examining, for example, are you interested in examining, contrasting various types of participles, or only looking at one type, or looking at the aorist, or at the perfect? Okay, if you're looking at perfect participles, then you probably have a lot fewer to deal with. However, to find those listed, I can't think of a book that's got those listed.
You'd have to go through that again. I'm trying to maybe
go
through the
answer. There were fewer.
Yeah.
I would say there were fewer, but I would say the magnitude is probably 1,000.
Of perfect participles? Okay. Okay. Of course, you don't have to deal with all of them. You know, he doesn't have to deal with all of them if he can get them.
Probably more like 5,000 or something.
Uh-huh. 5,000 to 6,000. Participles are one of the most common things in the New Testament. What we need is the computer program we've all been longing for, to just be able to punch in and say, give me all the
money.
We need money. Give all the aorist participles, give all the, you know, I mean, we could program something to do that theoretically. So. Yeah. But short of that, I think the quickest way probably would be get that. The analytical lexicons wouldn't be very quick unless you just wanted to, you know, zip down and scan and look for the perfect participle of it and then look up the scriptures. But if you're, depends on how you want to do it. Or just use that analytical New Testament and look for the symbol for a perfect participle and just scan quickly and try to find those. How fast was that going? I was going pretty slow, though, wasn't you? You were looking, were you picking out only aorist?
Yeah.
Okay.
If you did the whole New Testament, just to find each one and know each one, think about it.
Okay.
That'll
give you a ballpark. And for a paper like this, you may not need to get them all. If you set up a random sort of sampling thing, you know, take every 10th page or something like that, and then, you know, collect them that way. You'd probably be all right, as long as you did it in a random fashion if you're trying to look for this. If there's enough of them, they should distribute fairly well.
If anybody's interested in errors, I do have a listing of 500 chosen errors.
Okay.
I don't have an accurate adverse program.
That is a typical problem. Almost any of these kinds of papers that we're doing where we want to pick out something like that, but books just aren't set up, to my knowledge, that I've been able to run across conveniently for that kind of thing. If you're doing a word search, see, most of the books are set up to be able to pick a particular word and then search that word, and they're generally not set up for picking forms. Now, what you can do on some of those is, if it's an unusual grammatical feature, then check some of the grammar books first, and they may give you, look up that grammatical feature, for example, in the grammar books, and they may give you examples there, you know, like future infinitives or something. And if there's not very many of them, then they may give you all the examples right there. There's only three in the New Testament or something like that, but when it's something big like this, I don't know if there's any simple way to do it. Yes, John?
There's interesting things I did find when I was going through that. One was that Luke, by far, used more aorist participles than anybody else.
Mm-hmm.
And I think participles in general, you know, I wasn't really watching for it, but I, you know,
yes,
kind of mentally registered that, you know, that he used more participles.
Uh-huh.
And then John used very few.
Okay.
The epistles are almost, you know, they're quite rare.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whole epistle, one of Paul's epistles is like 10 or 12, you know, whole, you know, like the Romans or something like that, 15 or something like that.
That's interesting. I would expect a lot of participles, although Paul may be using a lot of infinitives.
It seemed to me, the analogy I can seem to draw, except in the case of John, is that, and even in John's case, because this is a little different style, is that where they were speaking, in a historical type of perspective, telling a story, that participles and aorist participles in particular were being used quite frequently.
Sure.
Whereas in Paul's writings, it seems to be, you know, he's not telling a story, he's you know, speaking to them.
Yeah. So there's a lot of conditional clauses, a lot of cause and effect type situations, and resultative clauses and so forth.
Why John, though? And that's throughout all of his, though, in Revelation, and all of his epistles, and in the book of John, his, I mean, they're almost not.
It's almost all simple finite verb forms. Yeah, the John's writings are typically, you know, considered the easiest in Greek. In other words, the simplest. So you're seeing basic simple subject verb object type constructions and finite verb forms. And so that's an interesting observation. Those stylistic variations can be seen. There's no question about it. Sometimes it's subject matter, like you say. Historical narrative is going to lend itself more to aorist participle, for one thing, and especially trying to sequence events. And your more didactic sections, like in the epistles, would be likely to have less of that. So I would expect, if you were looking at infinitives and that type of thing, so say infinitives per se, my guess would be the Pauline epistles would probably be your most frequent use of infinitives in your others. You're probably not going to see those as much in historical narrative. You're going to see those, though, especially in dealing with purpose and intent and, you know, that kind of thing, conceptualizing. Okay. If and when you feel that you have a topic you want to chew on this paper, just give me a, let me know on it. If you need any suggestions or sometimes I'll know somebody's done part of this or part of that. By the way, if you want to take a look at some of the things that have been done in the past, although in the past we kind of did it in a different mode in the college, in the grad library, there should be on the shelf some of the Greek papers still, Greek prepositions. So there should be you may have to do some digging for it. I don't know if we've labeled it per se.
Undergrad library.
Huh? Undergrad library has that? For our papers? Okay. Okay. I think we have a big thick one in the grad library there, too. I thought it was still in there. You can take a look. Those are all on prepositions, though. But you can kind of see what was done. And most of them are pretty thick. I'm trying to trim you down a little bit. And these we didn't require to be typed or anything. So now we want a little bit better finished quality and less verbiage and get right to the point. Okay. Let's continue in translating then the rest of the time that we have. I want to get through chapter 3 before we do something else. And we left off around verse 27. Nope, this is 27. My mark is in the wrong place again. Around 20. And 19, yeah, I think 19 we finished. Okay. Still too optimistic here. Gwen? Okay. Did you do 19?
I have to look at
it. Men love darkness rather than light. Their deeds were evil, wicked.
So he did 19.
Okay, so you were up next? Okay. Might as well continue there. Go ahead, verse 20.
So he passed out of Paola, passed from misery to false titles, advertised from the horse, in a man, and I say, and I got to.
Okay.
This is that I really need to watch. Let me see now. Never mind. Therefore, for God, therefore all the something, I don't know what Fowler is.
Fowler means vile things, almost cognate. Vile things, I don't know, but it means vile things. And prosone means to practice, you know, yeah, practice. So you have whole prosone and then phallos stuck in between. It's a little bit strange word order. In other words, you might have expected whole prosone, phalla. In other words, phallos, consider that as the object of prosone. And that's a participle, of course. So you've got a substantive participle with its object as vile thing.
All those ones practicing evil, visiting.
Okay, that's to hate.
Hate the light and don't practice or don't practice toward the light or don't work toward the light.
Okay, yeah, this is just from Erchomai though. It just means to come.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, if it were a gamma there, there's something else. But Yeah, so Erkamai, and it's a singular form, so he is not coming toward the light. In other words, it's the practicer, whole prosphone, is just a singular masculine.
Well, you have a singular then for all.
Right, exactly.
Everyone, therefore everyone going to practicing evil, hate the light and don't come toward the light.
Right. This one is to this verb means to reprove.
Reprove.
Yeah, and it's a passive form. So
therefore,
subjunctive. You got some interesting verbs here. Elenco. It's from Elenco.
Therefore, they are not reproved in their words.
Or it might not be reproved. In order that, see, if you translate hina, this is a hina with a subjunctive, so you probably want to translate it in order that. In order that, see, it's kind of the opposite direction. Therefore, it's kind of the thing that went before, and now this is the thing that's following. So in order that. Well, in order that their works might not be reproved, nor that his works might not be reproved.
It seems to me that it should say his works should be reproved. Why is it a negative there? Then?
Well, the point is that he refuses to come to the light in order that his works not be reproved. In other words, he doesn't want to come to the... Well, the reason for his not coming to the light is that his works... not be reproved. Yeah, right.
Oh, I'm thinking like he's saying therefore.
Mm-hmm.
In order that.
Yeah, I'll kind of put the negative way back here. It says, for everyone who is doing vile things, hates the light, and is not coming to the light, in order that not might be reproved his works. The reason that he's not coming to the light is so that his works will not be reproved. He knows that if he came to the light, his works would be reproved. And so not wanting his works reproved, he does not come to the light. They have knots on both sides, but they're both they both line up, as it were. He doesn't come to the light, so his works, deeds are not reproved. Okay, so he that practices vile things hates the light and does not come to the light in order that his works may not be reproved. Or might not be reproved. Okay, that was a good one. Who says John's Greek is simple? Okay. Verse 21, Mark. Oh, see, Tony, do you want to? Okay, Mark.
Ho de foion tain aletheon, erchetai prosto phos, ina phanerope, al tu ta erga oti in the o estin ergas nena.
Okay.
But the one doing the truth comes toward the light.
Mm-hmm.
That his works might be made manifest,
right.
Because in God, that looks like a plural participle.
Okay, it's actually it's a participle. This is a accusative. Let me see. It's a nominative plural neuter. Yeah, it's a perfect passive participle, nominative plural neuter.
Because
it's referring back to works.
Because it's a singular equative verb.
Yes.
That because in God his works are being wrought.
Right. His works are being wrought. The reason for the singular verb is because of the neuter plural taken singular. So the finite verb is singular, but the participle is still neuter plural to line you up with works. And notice this construction. Do you recall the construction of using a verb ame with a participle? What it's emphasizing?
Emphasizing is progressive.
Right. Very, very strong progressive aspect. Yes. Mm-hmm. And which one was John was had the progressive?
Yeah. I'm pretty sure that
was. Okay. Good. Yeah, so that's an interesting construction, and doubly interesting because of the neuter subject and having estin, and then having the plural participle. Okay, and this word ergasmena is from ergazomai, meaning to work or to accomplish. I think sometimes King James has wrought, his words for wrought. Okay, so the contrast here then, the de isn't real strong, but you probably would translate the contrast if here. But the one doing the truth, in the opposition to the one practicing foul things, the one doing the truth is coming toward, or comes toward the light. There's that clear directional element and moving motion toward, in order that his works should be made manifest, because in God they're having been worked in God, or been accomplished in God, and that in God can have the idea of within the location of God, or within the realm of God, within the power of God, that type of thing. There, it's quite an interesting picture. Go ahead, Eric. Question. Yes, that would be a nominative, neuter, plural.
No, I mean the dictionary form.
Oh, the dictionary form? Okay. The dictionary form of the verb is ergazomai. Ergazomai. It's epsilon, rho, gamma, alpha, zeta, omicron, mu, alpha, iota. Ergazomai. Get the word erg from that unit of physics, energy.
Mike, is that a new point all the way through?
It looks like it. I can't say for sure until I see the full paradigm, but it looks like it. If it's listing it as deponent dictionary form, you can't always tell for sure, though. Sometimes in the future they'll do some strange thing, but it's probably deponent. It's probably deponent all the way through.
Then I'm wondering whether that should perhaps be translated in an active sense rather than a passive.
Well, yes, that's a good point. It's it may be, though, just the very meaning of the word, to be wrought, to be done. You've almost got a passive sense to it. And you have to do word study on it to see what the range of it is, see if they make a contrast. You know, sometimes it has to do just with the meaning of the thing, the way that particular word is. But they do list it as a deponent, at least in the present form. Yes? Question?
Passive sense, it might seem more indicate that God working, whereas an active sense, it would mean that we're working work in God,
right?
In the realm of what He wants them to be critical in terms of
religion. Yeah, it would be. That's something that would have to be studied. You know, the only way to answer that question is to search that word out.
In the little dictionary in the back of mine here, it says intransitively, it means work, trade, or invest.
Mm-hmm.
And transitively, to do, bring about, or perform.
Okay.
So the
word is used both transitively and intransitively.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't does it indicate in any particular forms that are used transitively and intransitively, or just says that? Okay.
Now it lists the aorist and the perfect, and they're both deponent, but
mm-hmm.
doesn't say anything about the future.
Okay. So unless I was just wondering if it was something like histemi or something, where you get different senses with different portions of it. The transitive, intransitive may have to be determined by context, then, if that's the case. So we may have an ambiguity there. The end, there can sometimes indicate indirect agency, and as well as, you know, within the realm, within the location of. So it may indicate us doing it by the power of God. You know, if you take an instrumental, but that would be something I would wait until I searched that word out to determine. Okay, verse 22. Got time to give it through one more here. Who's up next? Dale.
Metatata elfein o Jesus kai o matetai autu eisein idion gain kai ake deatrifein met auton kai abaptism.
Okay.
After these things, Jesus and his disciples went into Judah. I'm not sure about game. Is that land or earth?
Yeah, it's earth. It's kind of the Judean earth, or, you know, the Judean, the land of Judea.
Okay.
And it seems to be talking more about the, you know, physical country, the soil, you know, territory.
The land of Judea.
Mm-hmm.
And what's left me, I can't, the next two words, ake and diatribane.
Okay, ake means there, just an adverb. And there, diatribane means to, it's diatribo is what it's from. It means to spend time or pass time. Sojourn, something like that. Spend time. Sojourn with him. What would we say in modern English? Sojourn's kind of archaic. You know, I guess we say pass the time or spend the time. I don't know. Stayed. Usually you see minnow when you see that, though. So I'd rather...
Sojourn,
whatever you want.
It is kind of chance to have that kind of distinction.
No, we don't. Yeah, they do have different words for minnow there. Then, so. Well, okay, go ahead.
Past tense, though?
Yes, this is an aorist. Well, it's an imperfect form. It's an imperfect form. So it's progressive. He was spending time. It's imperfect, active, indicative, third person singular. You have the augment there. It's diatribo is the dictionary form.
Let's do this now.
Okay, and there he was spending time
med auton. Isn't it?
Yes, and baptizing, and he was baptizing. That's also an imperfect form. So it indicates a progressive aspect.
Spent time with them?
Yeah, he spent time with them and was baptizing.
Okay.
So after these things came, Jesus came and his disciples into the land or country of Judea, and there he was spending time with them and he was baptizing, yes?
Well, that's the baptism is symptom, right?
Mm-hmm.
So doesn't that prove that Jesus did baptize? Because he spent time with them, the plural, and singular, he baptized.
Yeah, well, if you read... what is in chapter 4 where the qualification is? It does. It is he, but he's the one that's has the authority over the situation, apparently, because later on, he makes a specific statement that verse 2 of chapter 4. Well, Jesus was not baptizing. Yeah, but disciples. So you can see that it's
certain people, but he is the only one baptizing.
Yeah, and that's something we need to keep in mind. That's a good case in point. You can't necessarily prove something doctrinally, even from the language itself, the way it seems to sound. Because there's other qualifications. He it's true that he was baptizing, but he wasn't actually performing the thing. It was all his authority and his oversight.